Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is the house that God has provided for us to come and to worship and praise Him. And I hope as you reflect back on this past calendar year, you will thank Him for the many, many blessings He's bestowed upon us as individuals and upon us as a body of worshipers here at Ephesus. And I ask you, are you glad you are part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. You know, as I was thinking about my message for today, I looked back last year, and my topic was a New Year's resolution. And it was funny, Friday night, I had come down from my study and was sitting there with Connie, and she said, "What's your topic on for Sunday?" And I said, "New Year's resolution." And she said, "Well, you preached on that last year." And I said, "Well, I tell you what, if you can tell me what the text was and what the main point of the message was," I said, "I will change it for Sunday, even at this late date." Of course, she had made a lucky guess that it was about New Year's resolutions because we tend to think of that this time of the year. And my message today is not so much an expository message on the Bible, but it's just some thoughts that I put down to share with you regarding resolutions for the new year. And I found a text in the Old Testament that I think is appropriate for this time of the year, although it may not have been used by Moses exactly at the beginning of a new year. But our text is Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart so long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of a word, of His word. You know, what a difference we hope one evening will make. This coming Wednesday on December the 31st, 2008, the sun will set, and when it rises the next day, a new year, 2009, will have begun. And all the events, all the activities, all the occurrences of 2008 will be gone. We shall experience new possibilities, new ideas, and new hopes in 2009. And many of us will make New Year's resolutions. Whether you admit it or not, I think most of us will make New Year's resolutions, which is a positive act. Because making New Year's resolutions demonstrates we seriously view the new year as a new start in our lives. But however, in making New Year's resolutions, I think you'll agree with me that many people try to use resolutions as a means to make their dreams, their hopes, and their ideas come true. And there's nothing wrong with that, but for many of us, the new year brings a hope of a new me. But all too often, while there's a new year, it's the same old me. There are actually positive benefits to having hope at this time of the year and making resolutions, yet there also may be negative feedback as well. But the new year is an opportunity to do some soul searching and to perform an inventory of our lives. Now, if you're like me, and I suspect that many of you are, you kind of have a love-hate relationship with New Year's resolutions. You don't want to admit you make them, but you do. But then you kind of have a phobia about them, because we make resolutions at the beginning of the new year, and they range from exercising every day to eating less to saving more money. And by the end of January, we've broken most of those resolutions, or at least I have, and I dare say many of you have also. And by Valentine's Day, quite often we've forgotten exactly what those resolutions were. In the first few days of January, we realize what unrealistic human beings we are, as well as how undisciplined we are in reaching the resolve that we have made. The trouble is that then we must cope with the feeling of failure, guilt, and even depression before the year has hardly begun, before we've remembered to write 2009 on all of our checks. We are already forgotten our New Year's resolution. And in fact, those New Year's resolutions can quickly become New Year's guilt and depression, as I said. Many of you know that the month of January is named after the Roman god Janus, J-A-N-U-S, and he is depicted as a two-faced man facing backwards to the past and facing forward to the future. And I suggest that as we reflect upon the resolutions that we may want to make for 2009, that we view them in three different directions. That we face yesterday, we face tomorrow, and that we face the present. So first, let's talk about reflecting on our resolutions and facing yesterday. You know, the Israelites were accustomed to looking back. They were no strangers to reviewing history. They were constantly being reminded and challenged to remember their heritage and the interactions that they had with God along the way. As a matter of fact, our text was spoken by Moses when he was encouraging the nation of Israel. And he said, "Only be careful and watch closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen and let them slip from your heart as long as you live." He wanted them to remember the past. And it's important that we faced last year. If not, our resolutions will have no chance to succeed or to last. How many times have we made completely unrealistic resolutions because we did not consider the circumstances in which last year left us? My diabetes has been more difficult to control the last few months of 2008. And it's affected my ability to exercise as much as I wanted to. So I would be totally unrealistic to design an exercise regimen for next year that just went full bore from the beginning. 6 days a week, you know, an hour and a half a day. I have to be realistic. I have to look at the circumstances in which last year left me. We need to face yesterday honestly, not with rose-colored glasses. We need to be honest. Last year may have caused us a lot of pain, and we may want to forget it. It may have been a fantastic year, and we're concerned that that will not continue into the new year. But for whatever last year produced, good and bad, spend a little time reviewing that before you make your resolutions. You see, as much as we might want this year to be a completely new start, this new year 2009, It does not start in a vacuum. It follows what has been and what has brought us to the place we are at the end of the year. So many people's resolutions are flawed from the very beginning because they did not look to the past first. Reflect upon last year. For what do we have to be thankful? For what should we be pleased that occurred in 2008? What was difficult in 2008? What bad habits did we have that we want to get rid of? What good habits did we acquire that we want to keep? We know the past is important because if we do not learn from the past, we are destined to make the same mistake over and over again. The past, however, is not where we want to live the present. We want to reflect upon the past and to review it in order that we may strengthen our resolve to go forward and continue into the future. God doesn't want us to live in the past. Looking back at His goodness and the blessings He bestowed upon us is designed to root us firmly in the rich soil of faith. But then that faith provides the environment in which we strengthen our resolve to continue into the future, to begin new things with God in our lives. And Paul, the apostle, was greatly aware of this when he wrote the church at Philippi. He said, "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He wasn't living in the past. He wasn't living in the present in the sense that he used the past as his present. He was looking to the future. Second, as we reflect upon resolutions we may want to make, we should face tomorrow. You know, it's of no value to enter into the new year and only look over our shoulders at the past. We certainly know that type of conduct will result in us to bumping into things and stumbling over roadblocks and not knowing where we are going. We need to try and focus on the future and what our goals are. Where are we going? In facing the new year ahead, we are facing new possibilities, new opportunities for our lives. So in making resolutions, we should think perhaps about what we wish to have accomplished at the end of 2009. What habits do we wish to have acquired? What habits do we wish to have shed? It might be that we desire to know our friends better next year this time. We may wish to have grown closer to God or to our family. We may want to be healthier, fitter, slimmer. We may want to be a better parent, grandparent, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, friend, employee, employer. We need to think about those things and set our goals for them. With whom do you want to share Jesus next year? It may be your closest friend, but you have not made that effort. I suggest to you write his or her name down on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope and seal it and open it up next January the 1st and see if you have witness to that person. Make it a point to achieve that goal. Put down several names if you want. Don't list 500. Don't be unrealistic. But try to achieve those goals and hold yourself accountable for it. Third, as we consider New Year's resolutions, we should face today. Once we have the long-term perspective, then the question becomes, how can we reach our resolved destination? Let's say if our goal is to be healthier, to exercise more, to get in better shape. Don't set a goal of running a marathon in March. You're setting yourself up for failure. Be realistic about it. If we want to develop better relationships with our children and or grandchildren, perhaps we should spend an hour more time each week doing activities that they would like to do. If we want to grow in our relationship to God, maybe we should spend 15 minutes a day more in prayer and studying His Word. Now, I'm not saying that you should not stretch yourself. We should always set our goals a little high. But my caution is that we be realistic in our goals. Don't set yourself up for failure. Don't make it an unattainable goal which discourages you and causes you to throw up your hands in despair and say, I just can't do this. And the last point of my message today is is as important as the resolutions we make, and that is, do not attempt to keep your resolutions on your own. Share them with your spouse or a close friend. Solicit their support. Be a supporter for them. Encourage them to share with you what their goals are. Because none of us have it together, but together we have it. So I encourage you this new year to face yesterday and all that the year was. I encourage you to face tomorrow and all that you want to accomplish. And no matter what you want to accomplish, no matter how big it seems, we all know how to eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. Inch by inch, anything is a cinch. So if we'll just take it and set our goals, be realistic, and do it one part at a time, we should be able to accomplish that. And once we've done that, then we should be able to face our friends and face the God above with gratitude for the life that we'll have in the new year. And finally, I want to share with you the following poem by an unknown author. Listen to this and see if this strikes a chord within your mind and heart. The old year ends, a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page will now depend on you. You cannot relive the year that's passed, erasing every wrong. For once a year or day is spent, it is forever gone. But do not give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your very best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what is beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side if you will do His will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to Him. If you are not a Christian today, or if you are a child of God and have strayed from the Lord, you need to seize the opportunity to make that right today. You know, James said in his third chapter of his book that our life is like a mist that's here for a moment and then is gone. And Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, says, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to make that commitment. Whether it be to return to God or whether it be to accept Him as your Lord and Savior and have that precious gift of eternal life that He offers.